me raya yo.
¿Qué le pasa? ¿Qué le pasa?
Intervista
de humus a venir, ¿eh? El piso y got your 3 metros, ¿eh? El oh, me gusta yo. Nuk paleti me thonë t'i para në emroja, o qërë? Edhe një katër ere proma shiti vokabularin, o qërë? Ju palelelelele, o ju ju palelelelele. Edhe njështë vishin ka kamera dhe me kjesë është idiotke, edhe? Edhe kë berimi, para ka lobe. E kërë qështë purnoni, o
qërë?
Oh, jo.
Go to the right, go to the right.
We can over this pain, yeah?
Go to the right.
Watch out. I sit and cry and say, nice one, man.
Yeah.
I congratulate you, Armand.
Congratulations, my friend.
I very much like the police here, man. They like, take it easy, guys. Yeah. Try to get it down to 5 somewhere during this trip.
This guy is a Jippo, yeah? He's one of our friends. Look at him. He's driving in the left lane. That's only for when you take over, yeah? When you, like, you see? Yeah. He's not respecting the basic traffic, yeah? Like, on the left is when you take over. Right is when you go straight.
Let's greet him, man.
Hello, my friend.
He's driving next to you.
Yeah.
Why?
Just to be social.
I want to see his face. Come on, man. My friend.
This is pretty fucking.
Hello, my friend.
Yeah, man.
What's up? I tell you, yeah. My friend, also. Oh, hello, my friend. Sorry to be so true with you.
No, it's behind us. It's fine.
Wow. Police here is very cool, you know, especially with fucked up people.
They can very much relate, huh?
But do you go to the spray or what is it?
No, we go to
Ashtë kojnë aferi vajbë e më pitërin hipë bosh familë.
Peta u të kori më tha.
No, we going to this pizza house in Ferizaj called Hip. Yeah, it's called Hip. Hip.
Peta u kori më tha.
And there we're gonna have some very nice times. Yeah.
And having pizza.
And having pizza. Yeah. We're gonna have some Spanish pizza, Italian pizza, do you know what I mean? We're gonna have them all.
Polish pizza.
Ah, left one to spray there. Let's go to this nightclub. See what's going on.
Who is this spray?
Why is this spray, man? Why is this Italian guy doing this shit to me?
It's the drive-in club, man. Yeah, you should just stop at the booth.
This place equals to fucking McDonald's. You know what I mean?
Like, you drive in, you know, and you walk in, and you get your thing, and you go.
It's not worth it, though, maybe. It's bullshit.
Oh, what does it do? Wow, richtiger Palast.
Schon gibt's fast food, yeah. Don't you have the original soundtrack to, like, 1492 or whatever?
That was the film of the night, yeah? That was excellent, yeah? Like, 1492, man. Oh, when you have one.
is a very beautiful parking place. Deep respect.
It's a beautiful drive, man.
Yeah.
Ja, hallo, hier ist Felicia Herrschaft. Heute eine Sendung mit dem Titel Kosovo Projects. Also nach einem Besuch im Kosovo im April habe ich dort mit verschiedenen Aktivisten, könnte man sagen, gesprochen. Einigen, die dort bestimmte Kampagnen betreuen, wie zum Beispiel ourprime.org und dann zum Beispiel auch dem Ombudsperson in Pristina und auch wo wir jetzt direkt einsteigen, ein Gespräch über die Situation im Kosovo in Pristina, denn dort wurde neben die Universitätsbibliothek, neben die Nationalbibliothek eine noch durch Milosevic eine serbische orthodoxe Kirche gebaut und das Gespräch geht darum, wie man mit dieser Situation eigentlich umgeht, weil sie doch noch eine die Okkupation eigentlich zeigt. In den weiteren Gesprächen wird es dann darum gehen, wie während ich dort war, wurde der Bruder des Premierministers, also das von Haradinaj, erschossen. Der ist gerade in Genf und steht dort vor Gericht, auch wegen Menschenrechtsverbrechen. Und zu der Beerdigung seines Bruders durfte er ins Kosovo kommen. Und wir sprechen eben über diese Beerdigung und was dort eben passiert ist. Aber jetzt erst das Gespräch über die Kirche. Es spricht Florian Agali, ein albanischer Künstler.
Thing is solved, because if it was solved, I would have seen children in that school. There is nobody there, which means the decision has been made, which means the cathedral.
Okay,
I don't know about the cathedral.
We're not talking about decision now. We're talking about how people felt when they heard about that.
I think that we need to go back in time. When Kosovo was first integrated into Serbo-Croatia, the Kingdom of Serbo-Croatia, and later into Yugoslavia. It was back in those times, at least this is what I've learned, that Serb authority found out the best way to control the Albanian community is by sponsoring the religious Muslim community. The highest paid officials in Kosovo before the communists were the local Hoxha and the local Mufti. And after the communist times, they were standing both on the same level. So as an Albanian coming from Albania, where religious tolerance is at its highest, where religious
believe me, young people here don't care about religion.
I know that.
They don't.
But it may be a small portion of them. I have seen with my two eyes. I've seen this group of kids from the university step outside the fucking National Library, get on their knees.
I also saw them.
Give me a break.
Okay, I also saw them.
Come on.
If you see like 10 or 20 people, you cannot say that everyone is like that.
No, that's enough. They produced a very strong image. They produced an image so strong that me and you are talking about it right now. That all the local Hoxhas are proudly talking about. That's it. That's the job. You produce images. And then people...
What's the image?
That's an artwork. According to all the criteria of contemporary art, correct me if I'm wrong, that was a piece of work, of artwork, a performance. Because they not only performed their own religious functions, they managed to create such a strong image that me and you are still thinking about it, and me and you will never forget it. Because they took the National Library, which is supposed to represent the cult of Albanian culture, of tolerance, of very ancient roots, very, very strong European values, and put right on top of it this whole Islamic...
Well, okay, now we're going out of our main topic, but what do you think, whose fault is that?
Once again, we need to go back in time.
Forget about history.
History is why we're here.
Whose fault is it now?
We need to find faults, in order to correct them. I cannot point my finger at anyone because I don't want to do that. I don't think that's a solution.
Why didn't they make the proper law to stop that?
I don't think that's a solution. If we point our finger at anyone...
What do you think?
No, I'm just...
Personally,
The same thing was with headscarf. The problem with the headscarf. And the only reason why I'm against
that
Orthodox church there is that was built in the yard of the university. That place belongs to the university.
Yeah, like that and piece of road there belongs to my granddaddy.
No. That place belongs to university. If you don't know philology, philosophy, economic... law, art. That area is university area.
Okay, so now it's my turn to make a question. Do you believe that destroying that building and making that place again university ground will help us get out of this controversy? Honestly, do you believe that just let's say we wake up tomorrow and that church doesn't exist?
No, I would like.
Do you think it's going to change anything?
To see that church, but not there. In Pristina, but not there.
Okay.
There are other places where.
So Superman, come and take this church and put it over there.
Not a Superman.
How do we do that?
Not a Superman.
How do we do that? How do we do that when you don't have a market that works for the city? How do you do that when you don't have schools working for the city? How can you tolerate to spend public money on destroying that church? How can you tolerate on spending public money on rebuilding that church when you don't got nothing? Let's be real.
Well, what do you think? Where are those money spent anyway?
So, we're going back to the beginning of this argument. Is there anything we can do to help things change? I think I can help, and my friends think we can help by producing a few images. And here we may be also imitating what others are doing. I mean, look at how smart these Islamic guys are. Look at how smart they are. They don't need to point their finger at anyone, say, you're wrong for this, you're wrong for that. They just go there and they do this. Pom, 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 pom. And they leave. It's smart, man.
Which
Much
guys?
Smarter than...
Which guys?
This group of students. They just walked out of the library, right on top of it, at the entrance, and they started praying. And there is no reason in the world why they should pray there. Why? Why do you need to pray there if Pristina's got 30 mosques? And you want to pray, you go to a mosque. Why do you want to pray at the library? Why? Tell me any Islamic country that they pray at the library. They don't. They don't need to because they got the mosques.
Ja, das waren Florian und Berald, die sich darüber unterhalten haben, ob und warum man jetzt vor der Nationalen Bibliothek in Pristina anfängt zu beten und warum man nicht in die Moschee dafür geht. Es folgt jetzt ein Gespräch mit zwei der Organisatorinnen von ourprime.org, eine Kampagne, die sich darum bemüht, wenn man eben nach Pristina reinfährt, sieht man direkt Plakate, Our Brian has a job to do. Und welche Art von Job er jetzt in Pristina zu tun hat oder auch für das gesamte Kosovo, das besprechen wir in dem folgenden Interview. Now you got the message that your Brian will come to the funeral of his brother tomorrow. So what is going on, and how did the campaign Our Brian Has a Job to Do started?
Yeah, we got the news. We cannot also ignore that we are very emotional. We're going to see him. But also very sad that in what kind of occasion we're going to see him. He's actually coming to bury his brother. this is very distracting, I think, not only for me, but for the Kosovo society in general. Comparing, I mean, considering in what the way he left when he gave in, the way, I mean, he gave in and went to deal with the justice. Our Pravi campaign actually was created very spontaneously. It was basically a reaction group, if I can call it so. We're a group of citizens of Kosovo who felt very touched, very broken by the news we got that our prime has to leave his workplace and actually give in to face the justice in tribunal for lots of reasons, because Ramush Haradina is a person who stood up for us during the war and stood up for us during the peace, and his 100 days of work showed us that things are possible in Kosovo. Why I'm saying this is that after the war in Kosovo, there was a very heavy political atmosphere in terms of how the political developments were going on. And I don't want to point actors, but with his leadership of 100 days and his commitment, he basically was running the ship and convincing and encouraging people that we can work together to create this democratic society. So for us, it was a very touching news. Therefore, it was just a group of people, friends, who we are all employed, who we are, all of us have their own professions, and just gathered together, broken by the news, said we got to do something. So the news we got at March 8, basically in the morning, during that day, we decided to do something. So it was totally not organized. It was totally a reaction group who just came up together, designed the logo with a group of our friends who actually have that profession, designers, decided that night. We contributed from our pockets to just print out some t-shirts and just give it out, so we show the frustration we had and disappointment in the morning in a very peaceful way. So also to demonstrate that Kosovo has a very, very developed and democratic society. And next morning, what happened is that we distributed the t-shirts, but it was amazing that this campaign, yes, we invented the campaign, but the campaign succeeded because of people, not because of us. Because people chose this way to react. People chose this way to show their frustration, their disappointment, and how saddened they were by the news. We also organized, so the parts of campaign were the clips, the billboards, the t-shirts, the posters. Maybe I'm going to miss something like this, but it happened because of people, as I said, because as soon as people saw this logo, they all wanted to have it. They all wanted to put a t-shirt on and to show that they are with him, and that we really have lost a big leader in terms of him leaving the workplace. Especially we're referring to our prime minister, that's why it's called our prime. The other activity which was very important is that we initiated a petition. Which we directed to the Hague Tribunal, and that citizens were signing in all the regions of Kosovo. So this was basically the campaign in short words. Again, I must say that it was successful because of people. And I think another aim that we had as a campaign was to keep the situation as quiet as we could, because those were also messages of our prime minister. This is the way he wanted to, and we wanted to follow up on that. I mean, not because only he wanted to, but because we felt this is the right way we can achieve for having, I mean, the justice to be brought up and for him to have him back as soon as possible. So this is in short words,
yeah,
what happened with the campaign.
And during these 100 days, he's supposed to support the local governments to establish municipalities and How did he organize those?
The Kosovo government during his 100 days, we cannot, I mean, it would be not realistic if what we say we just went through heaven for 100 days. Kosovo government had inherited lots of problems from since before the war, during the Serb regime, after the war, of the maybe previous government, of not so much a previous government, but then not the locals not having the competencies, so they were big problems, a very big responsibility for him. But by him working so hard, he put priorities. The big priority was the standards, which he basically implemented the plan in most of the institutions. It was the integration, one of the main standards, it was the integration of minorities, which even now I have maybe colleagues and Serbs that live in Kosovo that consider him as a big leader, as a leader that took concrete steps for the integration and to secure their freedom of movement.
Yeah.
Which is a very, very strong point, and which everyone considers that he really worked hard in that direction. And this comes from Serb community as well.
So there are a lot of standards which have to be fulfilled, like the freedom of movement of all citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the return of displaced persons.
Mm-hmm.
That's another point.
Mm-hmm.
So what? How many standards or how did he organize to fulfill the standards, and how maybe we speak on this situation that the people of in Kosovo, they are no citizens, they are inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to fight on long bureaucratic ways to get passports and all these things.
Fulfilling the standards, I still believe that fulfilling the standards, it's a long way. You can,
yeah.
There's, I don't know how would someone measure and say, okay, we fulfilled the standards. Every developed country puts standards to their system.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how developed you are, you put different standards where you want to reach.
Yeah.
So in Kosovo case, and considering Kosovo as a poor country, the standards that are put, I don't know, first of all, how measurable they can be, but at least his leadership put a strong system in place to at least document what has been changed in the field, what has not been changed in the field, to give a pressure to the things that are under the competencies of the government, standards that can be fulfilled from the government side to be fulfilled. So in that direction, so he put the structure in place and the system to start reviewing the standards to see where we can influence, how much we reached, which wasn't done before. And plus, I mean, his leadership was pushing, his work was pushing for the standards to be fulfilled. I'm not saying that standards would be fulfilled within 3 months.
Yeah.
But it is very important, somebody's leadership, to push these things forward and to make people believe in it. Because it's hard, in a country where we live, it's hard to convince lots of people that, okay, this standards will change your life overnight, or this is going to do this and that. But at least, you know, starting them, working towards that. So that was a strong mechanism, which was really gave the results within 100 days of his leadership.
Yeah. And now Kozumi, how is he able to work on...
We cannot ignore the absences of our former Prime Minister, Ramushar Dinai. We cannot ignore that. And we cannot ignore that the interference of indicting him, the gap that interference left behind. So no matter who would take over the leadership after having this kind of interference, it takes a while to get into the system. But definitely I think that Kusumi leadership and Kusumi government, their work is based on the structure that the former government, Haradinaj government, put.
Yeah. And what is really very strange for me is how how much corruption is really going on, and what do you think, what is the role of the internationals here?
That's another point. This is another point of a good leadership. Or
and how can a prime really deal with them?
The prime minister, the former prime minister Ramush Haradinaj actually made the cooperation with the international community closer than ever. In Kosovo, and I understand because I'm part of this country and understand the frustration that the national, the Kosovars had by not seeing the results and by maybe not having a strong cooperation between the Kosovo side and the army government. Ramush, with his leadership, brought this cooperation pretty close. So the international community. What was the question about it?
Yeah, how is it possible to deal with this international community when nobody knows how they really work with lots of money, with millions.
The big question I have for international community as a citizen is that sometimes they forget that one of their main objectives is capacity building in this country. They are here temporary. Even if it's going to be for 20 years, their mission still is temporary.
Yeah.
You understand? Because this is the country of the Kosovars, or it's going to become a country of Kosovars.
Yeah.
So one of the main objectives for them was capacity building, which I'm not satisfied with that, of how much capacity building they did, considering that maybe 70% of their budget, and still these are not the correct statistics, but 70% of their budget goes to the maintaining of their mission, meaning their salaries, their expenses that they have for them being here. So I don't consider that as a big assistance.
Yeah.
So you see, there is a kind of maybe, I wouldn't call it a frustration, but then it should be clear why their mission is here and how much of capacity building you're doing if that is one of your missions. I mean, this is one of the examples that it's really not happening in the ground, or it didn't happen in a sufficient way of how it could happen.
Yeah.
Or how it should happen.
Yeah. A lot of people told me it's really a provocation if they live here and know that 5 billion went to the electricity.
Right. Yeah.
And they don't have electricity.
Exactly.
And so on.
For me personally, I'm talking in the name of citizens. For me, a big frustration is I cannot ignore the last tragic event that happened in Kosovo, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
By killing the brother of the former prime minister. These cases in Kosovo were systematically happening after the war, and it's just not a reasonable answer for the bodies in Kosovo that have full responsibility towards the security and towards the judicial system in here not to answer in none of the cases or to bring up in light one case of who killed who.
Yeah.
And this is the competency of the international community. So this is very dangerous because people start believing in justice, and you want to build a justice of a country where the rule of law, and you're not demonstrating it.
Yeah.
So there's something missing there.
Yeah.
They're not performing enough in order for us to believe. They're not performing good enough in order for us to believe that they're doing a good job. Especially in the judicial system, as Laura said.
Yeah.
So you have to perform in order for me to believe in you. I mean, in international community in this case. Yeah. That was, I mean, the frustration we have lately with all the loss that we have since after the war and having so many peacekeepers here and the judicial system in place. And I mean, these weapons are coming from somewhere and someone is controlling them. The border points are still controlled by the international community. It's not our full competency as a Kosovo police services. So there must, you know, there are a lot of doubts and mixed emotions, mixed thoughts about who's who. I mean, as long as the legitimate power still in Kosovo is UN.
Yeah.
The ultimate power.
Yeah. And can you tell me more about the family of Haradinaj? Because it's really a tragic story, because he lost a lot of...
Well, we know for family of Haradinaj, I know that it's a family who sacrificed for always for bigger cause. Just by the idea that the father of this family, together with his six sons, would stand for the people of Kosovo to fight, which is a rare case to have six brothers together with the father, sacrificing themselves for a big cause. I think it talks for itself. In Kosovo, it's considered as the second family who sacrificed the most, and unfortunately, it's still happening.
Yeah.
As you know, three of a former prime minister's brother are killed. Two of them during the war. The last one just happened yesterday. And one of the brothers has been accused, and he's in a jail for his accusation. I think is for 5 years with Dugajini again. For the war developments happenings, and the prime minister itself is indicted into the Hague Tribunal. So actually, it's a family who suffered a lot and sacrificed a lot.
Yeah.
Ja, das war das Gespräch mit Laura und Sophie, I think, von ourprime.org. Also wer sich das im Internet anschauen will, www.ourprime.org. Und jetzt folgt das Interview mit Marek Antoni Novici, dem Ombudsperson in Kosovo. Funeral from the Haradinaj's brother, and we saw that they put concrete on the grave, and it was really like the situation was like they are fearing the enemies who can really destroy the grave. And so you have a lot of traumatized memory here, and the question is how can you, as the ombudsperson, really help the people in for reconciliation and probably establishing a
this
a
is democracy? Yeah, this is one of the biggest problems here. In my view, to speak about reconciliation is quite. It's quite early. First of all, the people should be prepared, and on both sides should be prepared for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Forgiveness concerning what has happened during all these periods, not only before or during 99, but also after. And this should be a starting point or the first stage rather of reconciliation process. But there are still so many open issues, open questions, which the situation which doesn't help from the point of view of this process. One of the issues which is or should be mentioned in this respect is a question of missing people. You have still a lot of Albanians and at the same time a quite considerable number of Serbs and others missing from 98, 99. Non-Albanians have been missing mainly, but not exclusively, after entering into Kosovo of international forces, during the period of so-called provisional government of Kosovo. It means it's a complicated process, and the process on which the ombudsperson has quite limited influence, but at least I try to speak about this publicly and to have people understanding better first the need of starting such a difficult experience. And also making people understanding that without going through this painful process, there is no future. If of course one would like to see here a society in which people of different ethnicities live together. Together, it's not a good formulation, next to each other, because they have not been living together at any period before. Mm-hmm. Next to each other.
You mean which people?
I mean Albanians. When we speak about inter-ethnic relations, of course, immediately we think about Albanians and Serbs.
Yeah.
But of course, one should not forget about other non-Albanian communities, Roma, Ashkali, etc. Mm-hmm. But the main line of tension is between these two. I mean Albanians and Serbs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the standards which have to be fulfilled is this free movement, and that refugees can come back and out of the camps, that the camps will be closed and things like that. So what do you think? Are you helping the people with this institution to fulfill the standards?
The ombudsperson institution is not formally included into the standards evaluation process.
Yeah.
Because this process is conducted by UNMIK, of course, with the provisional self-government structures. But at the same time, certain parts of the priority standards are very much also the questions under ombudsperson jurisdiction. It means, by definition, we are a standards institution. Mm-hmm. Even if we are not formally included into the standards evaluation.
Yeah.
Having in mind that my obligation is to express my position on the main human rights issues, one day, and very soon in fact, in July, when the annual report of our institution will be published, this report will contain also the ombudsperson position related to certain aspects of the human rights situation, the aspects which very much are part of standards. It means, in other words, that in July you will have ombudsperson's position on certain questions which are which belongs to standards. Whether our position will be the same as a standards evaluation report or different, you will see in July.
And what kind of if you talk here to the people, they are really very upset because of the internationals and what they are doing here, but they really trust in your institution.
This is one of our biggest, or maybe the biggest achievement, because the institution is considered by people, doesn't matter Albanians, Serbs or others, as their own institution. Their own institution. This institution, in their understanding, belongs somehow to them. This is a place of trust, and the people are coming, raising different problems. For this reason also, I'm saying I'm going to Gilan, and the 30 persons waiting to meet simply the ombudsperson and to talk. It's enough for the whole day of different discussions.
And
One by one. And this institution have not been considered as a part of really part of international structures. In the periods of some sort of tension between international presence here and local people, we had not been touched by these tensions at all. From the very beginning, I've tried to lead the institution in the way in which people will understand that our role is to be, even one can say, intermediary between local population and international structures, which when we speak about the year 2000, 2001, 2002, there have been only governmental structures existing after the local self-government structures have been created, but at the beginning there was only UNMIK as a government here.
So what are the current problems now the people are with what requests are from people?
It's much easier to say what kind of problems people do not bring to me here.
Okay.
It's a so broad range of different issues. But this is also, it shows a few things. One, they do not have a place to go to raise the problems.
Yeah.
Second, this is a place of trust. Because if they do not have any other option, really, at least they are coming here and they are bringing me on the table sometimes the problems which we cannot help. Many times we can, but there are certain issues we are not really able to help these people, but they must talk to somebody. They ask also what to do.
Yes.
What to do in such situations.
As well.
But of course, in many cases, it's a question of our interventions to different local or international structures.
Yes.
But the people are complaining or raising the issues related to security, to properties, to social welfare, to the functioning of administration of justice, or malfunctioning rather of administration of justice, complaining about the police, everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We cannot deal only with cases related to international military presence, because it's out of our competence. If we have such stories, of course, I do not reject immediately the complaint, but in such a situation, I send this to KFOR, asking them to do something. Sometimes when we speak about the countries having similar institutions, simply I inform ombudsman in this country, and the ombudsman, the respective ombudsman, is dealing with the case related to the national KFOR here, including Germany. You don't have ombudsman, only for the military, but you have a petitions commission in the Bundestag, and we have quite a number of cases in which we decided to make the petitions commission busy, sending such cases.
Okay.
And also, when we speak about the other categories of cases, we have also, it's not directly our jurisdiction, but simply to help people. We have persons having also different problems with the German authorities, German administration, and in such a situations, simply we try to establish direct contact with different Lander authorities, and to the extent to which following such a cooperation we can help, we try.
Okay. And there was one example I experienced now. 5 billions were spent into electricity, and it's still a provocation that the electricity is not working because of such a lot of corruption which is going on. This is kind of provocation. People suffer every day that there's so many money went into corruption, like 700 million.
As electricity,
somewhere.
Electricity is like.
What is going on in this?
The obsession of people in Kosovo. I mean, there are different factors. Different reasons of such a situation, and I mean the corruption is probably only one, but also during the whole this period the system of collecting money for the electricity consumption and not being functioning at all. A big number of people simply have not been paying any electricity bills. It's a huge stealing of electricity. It means, in other words, the whole system had not been functioning. It's the production of electricity is only one part of this business, and the rest also have not been functioning. Only now certain steps start, which maybe could lead to certain results. In this context, what I would like to stress, when we have been saying that a lot of people have not been paying electricity at all, for different reasons. Some people simply because they do not want. And they know that nobody will force them to do that. But quite a number of people simply not having money for the electricity in Kosovo is one of the most expensive in Europe. And having in mind what is the part of the population living in the stage of poverty, you have conclusions.
Such a big contradiction here. It's most expensive in Europe, and plus telephone, electricity, and so on. And the people are the poorest.
The people are very poor, the economy doesn't work, etc. At the same time, there is no social assistant, social welfare, or social assistant system which could really help in this respect. When we speak about pensioners, you know what is the level of the first of all, there is no something like, at least in my understanding, a pension. What exists today, one can say, it's a social assistance to people getting certain age. From 65, you have a right to receive 40 euros per month.
Yeah.
40 euros per month, and such a sum of money. Having in mind the living costs and the basic expenses needed, it's not really enough even for food. 40 euros is a little bit more than 1 euro per day. And what about electricity? What about water? What about everything else? And there is no any. Let's say public support, which could make these people able to pay such expenses.
And okay, last question.
And if people do not pay electricity, and the electricity is produced, the money must come from somewhere, because the production cost. It's some sort of vicious circle.
And how do you expect the campaign Our Prime has a job to do here? This campaign Our Prime has a job to do here. How do you experience this? Because it's one really very powerful campaign, I think.
The campaign which
Our Prime. Haradinaj, Our Prime.
This campaign.
This was the campaign, to write petitions.
Yeah. And what's the question?
What your opinion on this campaign? Do you think it's possible that he will come back the next?
I don't want to express my position. My position is simply when. We decided one day to have international court, international criminal court for former Yugoslavia. Simply, one should keep a presumption that this court tries to make justice.
Yes.
And if this court decides, one should follow the decisions.
Okay, but here's the situation. Here is that the people think that it's unjust that he's now.
The people, of course, people have a right to express their own opinion, but at the same time, I stress, if we decided to have a court in other contexts as well, if we have a court in such a situation, after we should follow the court decisions.
Yes.
If you would like to have a court only for the decisions which we like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. And the ombudsperson is, are you working in a way that there's a reactivating of civil society because of your position? And if I look on campaigns like that, because the people just won't trust civil society because of the corruption which is going on. So the question is, what is activating?
My role here is not only to exercise ombuds jurisdiction, but very much to give lessons to people, showing that even in such difficult conditions, exceptional conditions, one can say, it is possible to have independent, strong enough, respected institution existing. Particularly independent, because also one should remember that the people here, they've been living in a communist system, and the questions like independent institutions, etc. The concept was not really very much present, and even if the institution was declared formally independent, like courts, etc., not necessarily in practice they were showing this, let's say, strong independent positions. Mm-hmm. It means very much this formal independence. Being only formal, but in practice very much compromised, and to show independence even versus international presence here, I think it's quite good needed lesson of how such an institution should function, and I think it will be a lesson for them for the future when we will leave, because one day also this institution will be, as we call this, Kosovanized.
Kosovanized.
Yeah. Kosovanization, this is the word which we use here. And this is a part of the legacy which I intend to leave here after 5 years spent. I do hope for something.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Nach diesem Gespräch mit Marek Anton Nowitzki, dem Ombudsperson in Pristina, folgt jetzt noch ein kurzer Ausschnitt aus einem Gespräch mit Koja, einer Künstlerin, die gerade auch an dem Relations-Austausch-Projekt mit der Städelschule teilnimmt. Und sie ist aber in Pristina und Sie spricht nur kurz jetzt über ihre Einschätzung als Künstlerin, was das für sie bedeutet, dass das Grab von Haradinais Bruder mit Beton, also zubetoniert wurde. Wer sich über den Ombudsperson noch informieren will, kann das auch finden, Ombudsperson Kosovo im Internet, und man kann eben die Ombudspersons Institutions als die Vertrauensmänner, in dem Sinne Personen der zivilen Bevölkerung in Konfliktsituationen, dann verstehen. Deshalb ist diese Außenperspektive eigentlich doch sehr sinnvoll darauf, wie sich eine Civil Society im Kosovo jetzt gerade bildet, bis sie sozusagen nicht nur als Institution selbst, also die Ombudsperson-Institution zu einer Kosovo-nized Institution wird, sondern das Land in dem Sinne Kosovo-nized ist, also anhand der internationalen Standards zu einem unabhängigen Staat geworden ist. Jetzt also das Gespräch kurz mit Koya.
Think on this, to put concrete on a grave for during the funeral of Haradinai's brother. What do you think, what is coming up as a memory, if you,
well, I think
you are doing this now?
This is, I don't know how many heroes are died, but this is the only way that they are choosing to be, to be grateful to the things that they've done, but
I mean, only a word hero is also.
It has
started to look really bad. That's what she's saying.
I really don't like the way how they are grateful to the heroes, and especially when they are trying to build permanent monuments. I think it's the worst thing that they could do for them. This is that what Ronald Joel said. They are victimizing them again. I'm repeating that art should be a reflection of the time. So I don't know why do people make a sculpture, make a monument of the communism, of this. I don't know. You saw maybe in a lot of our, in our city, the monuments that they've done to, am I right?
You're very right. And they're just, I don't know, just bad copies of communist sculptures. It's not like good socialist realism sculptures. It's just very, very extremely bad socialist realism.
That's what I'm trying to say, but I'm not good in expression.
But
in English.
You as an artist, what would you, how would you imagine a kind of memorizing or making something new, or is, or do you think art is something where you do?
If they want really to do something with, for them, they should write books, or they should make documentary films, or to find a way which will not gonna victimize them.
Yeah.
Because who knows? After we are about all our life we were occupied. So who knows what will gonna be next 50 years? Maybe he will gonna be some other occupator, and there the monuments will gonna be destroyed. So is this thankful of them? It's really the worst thing that they could do.
And how would you do something? Maybe to
books, show? Documentary films. I think they will gonna last forever.
Yeah.
And they will be the best documentation of the time. I think that is a reflection of the time, and they will gonna be just in an archive. They were gonna be an archive, and of course, who would like to know more of them? Who would like to know how we were grateful to them? They could go and see them, but and without pressure, because if there is a monument built, I think that people are. Maybe if the other occupators comes in Kosovo, I think that they will be pressured come on, watch me. Monument is there, and no, there will gonna be people which wouldn't like to saw monument of the our heroes, as we didn't like to see the Serbian heroes. So I think that it's not really the best idea. Have to be grateful to them.
Okay, thank you very much.
Вот опять небес темнеет ввысь, вот и окна сумерками зажглись. Здесь живут мои друзья, и дыхание затая в ночные окна вглядываюсь я. И дыхание затая ночные окна вглядываюсь я. Я люблю под окнами мечта.
Ja, die CDs, die ich heute gespielt habe, Balkan Blues und Road of the Gypsies, ich hätte noch viele andere spielen können, die kamen aus Ginger, aus dem CD-Shop in Pristina, der, mit denen ich zusammen am Anfang dieser Sendung im Auto gefahren bin. Und sie hatten wirklich eine der besten Musiksets auch im Auto und auch in ihrem Laden. Also wer sich das anschauen will... Pristina. Okay, und Pristina. Und weitere Informationen kann man sich auch auf der Webseite www.fehe.org anschauen. Da sind auch dann noch weitere Interviews. Und am 21.05. gibt es eine Sendung samstags bei Funky Fresh Double D, der auch dann über Hip-Hop im Kosovo berichten wird. Okay, am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich für die Zerrschaft.
Окон, негасимый свет.